Our text is the one question, is not this the carpenter? Is not this the carpenter? After many mighty deeds, our Lord returns to his own hometown of Nazareth. He goes to the synagogue. He has performed many miracles and done many mighty deeds. He's been baptized. He's been tempted in the wilderness. And now the hometown boy who's made good is coming back to his own city of Nazareth. He goes into the synagogue and he is asked to share the platform with the leader of the synagogue. And so he stands up and leads in the reading of the Word of God to the people. He reads from the 61st of Isaiah, and they stood to read. By the way, that's where we get our custom here at First Baptist Church. It was a custom to stand to read the Word of God, and so we do that and have now through these years. Our Lord stood up to read, and it is said, the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Then the Bible says he closed the book and gave it to the minister of the synagogue. And then he said something that startled and angered the people. He said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your own eyes." He said, "I'm the one about whom Isaiah was talking." They became angered. After a while, they're going to throw him out of the synagogue and down the hill of precipitation. Still can be seen to those who travel to Nazareth. But first they ask the question, "Is not this the carpenter?" That's the text. Is not this the carpenter? Did you ever wonder why our Lord was a carpenter? Couldn't they have asked, "Is not this the preacher? Is not this the healer? Is not this the teacher? Is not this the Savior?" Or couldn't he have been perhaps a banker? Wouldn't that have been a little more, prestigious than being a carpenter? Wouldn't he have made it possible to say, "Is not this the banker? Is not this the mayor? Is not this the lawyer? Is not this the doctor? Is not this the businessman? Is not this the city councilman? Is not this the one who runs the local store?" But they ask, "Is not this the carpenter?" Now, why did our Lord become a carpenter? He looked down from heaven before he became incarnate, clothed upon with human flesh. He looked down from heaven and he saw all the professions of men. Now, nothing, get this, nothing is in the Bible accidentally. Our Lord said, "Not one jot or tittle shall pass away till all be fulfilled." There is no unimportant word in the Bible. And so our Lord looked down and from heaven and said, "Now, well, what would be best for me to be on earth?" He could have been an electrician. He could have been a brick mason. Or he could have been a banker or a lawyer. Or he could have been a businessman. Or he could have been a politician. Or he could have just come as a preacher. But they asked the question, "Is not this the carpenter?" Now why? Tell you what. And they said, "Is not this the carpenter?" Now I think he was elevating preparation. Now it's interesting to me. Our Lord came to seek and to save that which was lost, but he spent 18 years at least as a carpenter. And only 3 years in his life ministry. Isn't that unusual to you? He came to seek and to save the lost, and don't you think that maybe for those 18 long years, he wondered, maybe? Or others wondered, or his mother wondered. Sometimes he thought, "Well, now, here I am, I've come to seek and to save the lost. And here I'm making a plow out of a piece of wood. Or here I'm making a yoke." And, of course, you can see the fact that he was a carpenter. You can see it throughout all of his life's ministry. He said, "He that putting his hand to the plow and turns back." He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He said, "Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Don't you think many times he had made a yoke and he wanted to make that yoke smooth so it would be easy and not rough, you see? And so he talked a lot about his work as the maker of yokes and the maker of plows. But he was easy for the house. Our Lord, preparing. Yes, I think God was letting his own son spend 18 long years as a carpenter. I mean a common laborer. Why? To elevate preparation. I am vitally concerned about this generation for many reasons. But one reason is we have got the most sordid idea about what preparation is that any generation ever had. We do not prepare our people for life. We prepare our people for a particular vocation. I've told my people this, but I want you folks who are visitors to hear it. It fits in the sermon. David, my boy David, is 16 years of age. He's at Bill Rice Ranch now, working as a carpenter. Good night. Probably doing that too. But he's working as a cowboy and has now four or five years each summer. And David loves horses, and he's in charge of all the horses there and the cookouts and the riding of the horses and so forth. And a year or two ago, Dr. Bill has a daily radio broadcast, or a weekly radio broadcast, and he asked David to preach a sermon on his broadcast. And so I got a letter from several people. One person said, I heard your boy David preach his first sermon on the radio. And they said, you'd have thought he was a grown man. You'd have thought he was a mature preacher. The sermon was homiletically... it was right. It was okay. Outlined okay. It was... he delivered it well. And they said, David is really already a seasoned preacher. And Dr. Bill saw me and said, Brother Jack, he said, David really preached a good sermon. And I said, young folks, look there, you listen too. And I said, I'm glad that they did. And Dr. Bill said, say, he's good enough to preach in a church now. And I said, well, I'm glad. And he said, you're going to let him preach now for you, aren't you, son? And I said, no, I'm not. And Dr. Bill said, well, why? And I said, I'm just not. He'll not preach for me. And Dr. Bill said, well, how do you expect to make a preacher out of the boy if you don't let him preach some? And I said, Dr. Bill, I'm not trying to make a preacher out of him. I'm trying to make a man out of him. I don't care what your boy is going to be. If you don't make a man out of him first, he won't be much of whatever he's going to be. And our God said, my son is coming to earth. He's going to be the savior of the world. He's going to help people. But first, I want him to be a man. And God knows we are bereft of manhood in America today. So our Lord was a carpenter. I was thinking of my preparation and for the ministry. Oh, I went to college. I prepared. You know, by the way, Dr. Billings, I'm really fighting it not to retaliate. It's in my heart. And but I've got two or three things that are really cute that I've been wanting to say, but I'm just too good a Christian. And I just don't fight back. I just, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I'm letting God take care of mine enemies. The Bible says, lift up not thy hand against God's anointed. And but anyway, I recall my preparation. I went to college, and I've been to seminary, and I have some degrees, and people think, well, that's preparation. Why, that's the silliest thing in the world. Absolute ridiculous. Nobody's prepared to be a preacher just because he went to college and just because he went to... That's one of the things wrong with our preachers and wrong with our churches. We have a bunch of fellas, a bunch of lazy, sissy fellas who've gone off to college and not worked a day, never had to labor hard, never learned how to sweat, never perspired, never labored. They're going off to college and seminary at dad's expense, and some godless professor has crammed a bunch of junk down their throats, and they think they're preachers because they've been prepared. Well, my preparation was in college. I thank God that one day, back in World War II, they were drafting people. In fact, anybody that had a pulse could get drafted back in those days. And physical examination consisted of, he's okay. I was about to get drafted, so I went down and volunteered for immediate induction. That means I was asking for a special unit, you know. And they said if you volunteer for immediate induction, the volunteers got their preference. And so I got in the infantry. That was not my preference. And one day, I was out on a 26-mile hike. We had gone exactly half the way, 13 miles with 13 miles to go, and my blisters had blisters on their blisters. And I'd pulled KP, I'd pulled guard, I had been on a rifle range. I had walked. I had run those obstacle courses. And, you know, that's crawling on that barbed wire and jumping over, climbing that big old wall. And my soul. And so I was just a kid, just 18 years of age. And I hadn't even shaved. No joke, I didn't shave until I was 19. The sergeant came up and said, "How long didn't you shave, soldier?" I said, "19 years." He said, "You'll shave tonight." And I got me a pair of manicuring scissors and cut it off right there and shaved. Now then, I shave 3 times a day. But they came out and a 26-mile hike, half over. And so fellows came out and said, "We have a special outfit. We want volunteers." Now, they always knew when to ask us to volunteer. Because after walking 13 miles or 13 miles to go, one sergeant said, and I was sort of kidding, he said, "Who wants to volunteer?" And I said, "I do." Now, I didn't know what it was. And then he said, "For the paratroopers." 17 weeks later, I found myself in a most precarious predicament. I found myself 1,200 feet from the ground with a tow sack on my back and some silk in it, with a hope and a prayer that the silk would come out of the sack, with a sergeant encouraging me and beseeching me greatly to exit, without any leadership from the Holy Spirit. I obeyed the sergeant, and I was a paratrooper. Somebody asked me one time, said, "How many night jumps did you make?" I said, "All the jumps I made were night jumps. My eyes were shut on all of them, and all of them were night jumps." Somebody said, "How many jumps did you make?" I said, "None. I was kicked out 19 times. I didn't jump any." But you know, they put us the first day. Now this, you said, "What are you saying this for?" I think God is making me a preacher. A preacher. And I want to be a paratrooper. I want to be a paratrooper. They said if a man could become a paratrooper, he could lick 5 normal men. And I'll confess, I never did find any normal men after I got out. But I wanted to be a paratrooper. I wanted to wear those wings and have that hat and those shiny boots. And I just wanted to be a paratrooper. And so the first day of training, we had to run a mile. Now, I had never run a mile. Now, nowadays, I run a mile often. But I'd never run a mile. And they put me out and with the outfit and run a mile, and they stripped us down to our waist and we had big boots on and they said, "Okay," and we had to count cadence. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, ran a mile. Well, about the last 100 yards, I thought I would make it. I blacked out, I fell out, and I regurgitated all over the floor, I mean the ground. Not all over the ground, there were some parts of the ground that did not get it, but most of the world got it. So I regurgitated, and the sergeant walked up, and he stirred me with his foot, and he said, "Soldier, when we quit running in this outfit, we crawl." And so I crawled. That's the way I wanted to be a paratrooper. I crawled in my own vomit. I wanted to be a paratrooper. I wanted to be one so bad. The next day, ran 2 miles. The next day, 3 miles. On to the 10th day, we ran 10 miles, and for about 3 weeks, we had to run 10 miles every day. Now, some of you folks that are paratroopers back in the old days know. Nowadays, they can't run you for a little while. Every 10 minutes, you got to have a break and walk a bit. But we ran 10 miles every day without stopping. And then push-ups. You won't believe this. I can't believe it myself. If I do 20 push-ups now, of course, it's a little easier. I don't have quite as far to push up as I used to. But if I do 20 push-ups now, I'm really puffing and huffing when I get through. But I did 90 with a full field pack on my back and a sergeant counting them. He said, "You do 90 push-ups." But what I did was, he said, "Hiles, do 25 push-ups." They were calling the roll. You know, and you're supposed to say, "Here, sir." And so he called my name, and I sort of said, "Bendis," and I said, "Here." He said, "Sir, here, sir, Hiles." I said, "Here, sir, Hiles." And he said, "Give me 25 push-ups." And I said something back. He said, "Make that 50. And I said, "Would you go for 75? He said, "Give me 90. Well, I knew I'd better not say anything else. And I did 90 push-ups with a full field pack on my back. That's what you call potential energy. Because my kinetic wore out a long time before that. Why? I wanted to be a paratrooper. I wanted to be a paratrooper. All my heart I did. We did calisthenics. We climbed rope till I absolutely wanted to hang myself on the top of it. We did calisthenics a half a day and ran the other half. And but I wanted to be a paratrooper. Now look, what was God doing? He was making a man out of me. That's what he was doing. God was making a preacher. Why? He wanted somebody who had some fortitude to preach. And so he was making a preacher. I got out of the paratrooper, tried to find a job. Went home, tried to find a job. And so I couldn't find it. First thing I did, bought $700 worth of furniture on credit. No job. Ignorant, stupid. I had a habit of sleeping on a bed, and I hated to break it. And so I no job. I looked and looked, and finally, our only job that was available was a job laying oak floor. Just now, we didn't have any automatic floor layers back in those days. Men, what I would do, would go to building a house, and I would bid how much algo men were you. You know this, laying oak floor is not what carpenters really prefer to do. And, of course, they don't do it like they used to because they have machines. But now, the way we did it, we just bent over all day with a hammer. And I got a hand axe, is what I got, and it's heavier and didn't have to swing quite hard. Just give it a start, and it'll go the rest of the way itself. And sort of tilted the head like this back toward the nail so I wouldn't get quite as many half moons in the floor. And you just all day long. And take the paratroop and the carpenter. Why was our Lord a carpenter? Is not this the carpenter? Why couldn't they have said, is not this the valedictorian? Is not this the young banking aspirant? Is not this the carpenter? Why? He was elevating proper preparation. Now look, listen to me, hear me. You better get your kid some preparation besides just going off to some school and learning some books. I'm sick of it. We have a generation of lazy bums parasiting off the government. Because you moms and dads, you gave this little song and dance. I just don't want them to have to go through what I had to go through with, and you're ruining them. Our colleges are full of kids that not worth a powder to take to blow them up because you didn't have enough sense to put them through what you had to go through with. I vowed that my boy is going to work. One summer down at the ranch. By the way, I've always insisted he go to the ranch in summertime. Always have. I want him to work his fool head off. Not fool head off, but his head off. And work. And anyway, one summer, I was down at the ranch, and I'll be there. By the way, this week, preached a couple of days, God willing. And I was preaching, and Dr. Bill came up, and he said in front of David something I wanted to kill him for. He said, why don't you let me give David a horse? Well, that's just what I needed. 8232 Greenwood in Munster is a horse. I've been praying for one for months. A horse. And there was David. And the boy's eyes got big. He said, hey, Dad, wouldn't that be great? I said, deliriously wonderful. A horse. And so, I took it. You know, just sort of fun. Walk home and say to your family, I got something for you. Surprise! And so happened to be a fellow across the street who had a big backyard, and he had a little barn-like place in his backyard, and so we went over and asked if we could use it, and so we went down and bought some food, and I don't know what we got. Dog food, laying mash. I'm not sure what it was. But we got some food, and we I thought that was funny myself, that laying mash. But anyway, we got some food, and David had to carry water over there. And most of the year, we'd start with the water to the ice by the time he got there. And he had to go in the snow. And the food. And what happened? It'd be 1 o'clock in the morning. Telephone rang. I'd go to the door, see if that's what was ringing. That wasn't ringing. I'd I checked the alarm to see if that wasn't it. That wasn't it. Pick up the telephone, the process of elimination. And I said, hello. And somebody said, do you have a whore? And I said, yes. They said, this is the Munster Police Department. Your horse is about 3 blocks away from your house. And neighbors are calling. He's licking the screen. And so I'd get out of bed and go get the horse. And next night, phone rang, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd pick it up and say, where is he tonight? And I'd go get the horse. And now, why? Why did I put up with that crazy horse? You know why I did? Because I wanted a rear boy. I wanted a rear boy. And my boy would get on that horse and ride that horse down Greenwood. Isn't that something? That's sort of like a boat landing in the desert, you know. And ride that horse down Greenwood. Kids that line up won't ride the horse. And finally the fellow across the street says, I can't take care of the horse anymore. And I said, well, good. So some guy out here in Dyer runs a hotel for horses, and we rented a room, suites out there. So we used it and had to go out there and exercise the crazy thing. Cost me $25 a month just for a place for him to stay. Had to feed him besides that. And David would go out and ride him. Why? Because I wanted my boy prepared to be a man. That's why. This may come as a great shock to you. I'd rather my boy know how to ride a horse than to take Greek. Is not this the carpenter? Why? Because our Lord wanted to elevate proper preparation. 18 years he spent in a carpenter shop as the city carpenter, town carpenter. Why? Waiting for that day when he would be baptized with John, showing proper preparation. You know what I think? I think when I say to young girls, like I said a while ago, you sit still here, well, I think that's more preparation than taking a course in certain school. Had your kids work. One of the sad things about this generation is the fact where everybody's moving to town. Nobody plows anymore. Nobody chops cotton anymore. Nobody pulls corn anymore. Nobody milks cows anymore. Nobody slops pigs anymore. Nobody gathers eggs anymore. You know, I long sometimes for the old days. Did your mother ever do what my mother used to do? We couldn't afford any chickens, but we'd go down to my aunt's house and the chickens would rear them. And my mother would go out in the backyard. Did you ever see anybody go out in the backyard and get a chicken by the neck? Just by the head and go. How many ever saw that? Huh? Well, I'll declare you a bunch of hayseeds. And sure, to me, that's one of the most bloodthirsty things I ever saw. And then I've seen her stand there holding the head in her hand, watching the remains flop around the yard. And I want to pick up that head and say, man, I'm sorry. You just have to understand. I mean, you gave your life for a good cause. I mean, it's nothing personal in all of this. I mean, we have nothing against you at all, except we just got in the habit of eating and I long. You know, I feel sorry for kids nowadays. I feel sorry for them. Demonstrate. Good night. Talk about rough. If you'd lived back yonder 20 years ago, you'd have just started a war. Demonstrating. I don't have anything but a 68 to drive. And you parents are ruining them. Ruining them. Just ruining them. The Son of God. The incarnate deity, God in flesh, came to seek and to save the lost. But the Heavenly Father in his wisdom said, I want him for 18 years to labor in a carpenter shop. Is not this the carpenter? Number two, he elevated labor. He elevated labor. Did you know before Jesus came as a carpenter, did you know it was almost a disgrace to be a carpenter? Those who plowed the soil, cut the timber, and fashioned the brick were called, quote, the common herd, end quote. The common herd. That's what they were called. Common labor was a disgrace, distasteful. People looked down with detest even on the common labor. Did you know, for example, that in ancient Greece they were called outcasts, common laborers, carpenters? bricklayers, saw turners. They were called outcasts. Did you know in ancient Rome, they had few rights and privileges? Those that worked with their hands were looked down upon, and their privileges and rights were very few because they were somewhat of a second-rate citizen. Our Lord came to elevate labor. He came to elevate labor. You know, I'd like to ask you a question. What's wrong with work anymore? What's wrong with work? Where did it go to? Girls, I'd like you to join the service if you'd like. And in fact, if you don't like, you're going to. Where did good old work ever go? Whatever happened to work? I was in Maid Rite the other day. And I ordered me a couple of sandwiches to go. And a fellow was sitting there. I was standing by the end stool where I was sitting and reading the paper. He said, "We're going to get our money." I said, "What?" He said, "The carpenters. Al, is it $9 they're asking for? $9 an hour? How much?" $5 an hour more? What are they making now? They're asking for $13 an hour? Is not this the carpenter? $13 an hour. Anyhow, this fellow said, "We're going to get it." I said, "What?" He said, "The carpenter." I said, "Are you on strike?" He said, "Yes, sir. I'm on strike." He didn't know who I was. He's cussing a bit. And I said, "What do you want?" He said, I thought he said $9. He said $13. Anyway, we're going to get it. He said, "Nowadays," he said, "that's the racket to the end." I said, "Man, that sounds right to me." He said, that's the best place to be. I said, "Sir, let me ask you a question." We're both waiting on hamburgers. I said, "Yes, sir, he's all right." I said, "Is that all there is to working anymore, is how much you get an hour?" I said, "Did you ever build a house and stop to look at it and say, I'm providing shelter and warmth for somebody today? Is there no pride anymore? I mean, whatever happened to just laboring because it's good to labor? Jesus became a carpenter. Why? I don't know why. He wanted people to know that there is an honor and a pride, a justifiable pride, in just being a good, old-fashioned, hard worker. And that's why our Lord said, or inspired by the Holy Spirit, the writer wrote, he said, if a man won't work, don't let him eat. And these lazy people looking for washing, I don't care what color they are, black or white or chartreuse, if they won't work, let them lie on the sidewalk like the starving millions of India and starve. I'm tired and sick. Bunch of lazy gluttons, bunch of beer-bellied lazy loafers living off our money. Work! Work! Somebody ought to start a university, not to train a bunch of philosophers or train a bunch of people just to cause trouble and read some books. Somebody ought to start an old-fashioned college that'll just teach our kids to work a bit. Our Lord came to elevate labor. I'll be honest with you. The poverty program is nothing more than a loafer's program, basically. I'm against the guaranteed income. I'm against the minimum wage laws for guaranteed income. I'm against giving folks money. I'm against these ladies, pardon me, these females, many of them, the hundreds in Chicago, we're paying money to teach them how to have illegitimate children. And then they have them, and we're supporting them and the children, encouraging every kind of filth in the world and hiding it behind a poverty program. Sometimes I'd like to just take my fist and stick it right in the breadbasket program. You say, you're a bigot toward race. That's how big a fool you really are. Fellow who says, you ought to work or starve, and you idiots say, you'd hate the Negro. Well, if he's the fellow lazy, let him stand up in the cage. If the white lazy man is just as bad. I was down here in Leavenhead Rock on Sibley about 5 years ago. I walked in, and there lay on the sofa a great big old beer guzzling drunk. His stomach, he looked like a piece of macaroni that swallowed an olive. And there he was, lying on the bed, 4 o'clock in the noontime or shortly after, opening his government check. Drunk! Senator Byrd, the late Senator Byrd, isn't it, from Virginia, took a poll and found that of all the government checks cashed in Washington, D.C., 43% were cashed in liquor stores. 43%. Let me just sort of graph a while. Do you know that the urban renewal is not going to work? A fellow who won't keep an old house clean won't keep a new house clean. It won't work. Somebody said the other day, said, if you want to see some real shoddy places, you go over just off State Street in South Chicago, South Central Chicago, and you go to those places and see how run down they are on the inside. You know why? We're taking a bunch of people who won't keep up an old house and give them a new shiny house, and it'll be old just like the other. A fella who won't keep a window put in his house when he has an old house won't put a window in the new house either when it's busted out. So what are we trying to do? We're rearing a generation of people that we're building a society on. If you don't want to work, we'll feed you. I had a fellow the other day walk in my office. They come in often. And he said, Reverend Hyatt, that's what they always do it. Reverend Hyatt, I have heard about you all over the country. And I locked my pocket. And I said, may I help you? Well, he said, some of these fellows are affluent. I mean, I'm not affluent, they're fluent. They are public speakers. They could teach Dale Carnegie's course. He smiled at me and he said, a few unfortunate circumstances have arisen. He said, I have a check. A check is always on the way. And he said, could you advance me a $20 bill until Tuesday? And I said, no. But I said, to what? I said, I have got a lot of work that needs to be done. And I'll pay you $1.50 an hour if you'll do the work. He said, what do you think I am? A rescue mission bomb? I said, I'm not sure what kind of bomb. But I said, I'm not paying you until you work. He said, I'm not strong enough to work. I'm hungry. And I said, go rescue mission. He said, I'm not going to stoop that low. I said, then starve them high. Work. A lot of you have girls. Won't even make their beds up before they go to school in the morning. Mama trots in and makes the bed up for the child, and the child throws a fit. And if they do make it up, it looks like a haystack, and it looked better before they started on the job. Some of you men will go home tonight and have boys, and you'll take the garbage out. And a big old boy right there beside you. We're rearing a generation of no good loafers, and by the way, a lot of them are right here in this. Listen, I can tell you kids in our church, for our better families, our leading families, that folks in our church who have, and businessmen have tried to hire, and they wouldn't work because they hadn't been taught to work. And I've had employers come to me and say, what can I do? These are good people in our church. What can I do? They're not worth the half the salary they're making. What can I do? Is this not the carpenter? Is not this the carpenter? Why was he a carpenter? He wanted to baptize his people for the fact that good, honest sweat and labor is sanctified. He came to elevate labor. Number three, by the way, I want to say this too. I don't think everybody will go to college. I think some folks should never go to college. I think it'd be good for a lot of young people just to get out of high school and go out to steel mill and go to work. Somebody's got to do that. I think it'd be a good thing for a lot of fellows to get out of school and just become carpenters. What I'm going to do, I can recall when a carpenter was looked down on even in our area. They said, he's just a carpenter. That meant he couldn't find work anywhere else. And nowadays, the banker goes and borrows money from the carpenter. I could say a million things, and I think I will. I'm tired of kids having cars run all over town in, bought by dads and mothers. And so what it is, our insurance goes up $400 a year. $400 a year. $400 a year. When I was a kid, you took 1995 and bought a car with it. I don't mean 1995. I mean $19.95. What happened? Junior's got to have his way. When I was a kid, I didn't get all the advantages. The honest, simple truth is, what you thought were not advantages were advantages. Jesus came to elevate labor. Number three, he came to elevate purpose in life. Joseph died in his youth, and our Lord took over the job of providing for the family. I like what the old Negro said in the electric light plant. Somebody said, what are you doing? He said, I'm serving the Lord. Serving the Lord? Yeah, serving the Lord. Well, how are you serving the Lord in electric light plant? He said, I was providing light to cast out darkness. And you can't steal as much in light as you can in darkness. I was just keeping folks from stealing. You know, to me, if I weren't a preacher, I'd want to be in a profession that did something for somebody. As I said a while ago, I used to be an oak floor layer, and I've also laid some drywall. Now, I don't mind the walls, but my head is just not shaped right for that like that. Now, a flathead like John Tinley and Ed Wolber and others can do that, but now my head's always just not been shaped properly. But I've hung some drywall, a lot of it. I put on a lot of gyplap too. That's the stuff you put outside the house that's under brick. It's sort of black drywall is what it is, and it's called gyplap. I put a lot of that on. There's nothing quite as bad to be in the third story of a building on a scaffold putting gyplap, and the thing is a sheet about 2x8 or 4x8, and a big wind come up. Now you're all holding, you know. But to this day, it's been now 20, a long time since I did that. But to this day, I can go to Dallas, Texas, and drive down the street, doctor, and I say to my kids, I laid the floor in that house up there. They're walking on what I did. I hung the drywall in that house. Now, to this day, there's a pride about it. Why? Well, boy, every time somebody moved in the house, when I'd put the floor in, we'd have almost a dedication service. I'd go and watch them move in. Many times I've walked in, no joke, if I was putting the floor down next door to a family moving in the house where I just laid the floor, I'd walk in and I'd say, how you like your house? They didn't know who I was. It's a fine. I'd say, hey, like floor. Huh? Floor. Floor. Pretty, huh? Yeah, pretty. What? I did it! Nowadays, hang how I did it. Nowadays, I want more money. I want bigger breaks. I want less hours. I want more benefit. I want air-conditioned restroom. I want hour lunch time. I want bigger slice of bologna for lunch. I want more attention, more retirement plans. I want to work 32 hours a week. You are a wreck. Our Lord came to elevate the fact it isn't how much you make, it's what is your purpose in it all.
There was a day when people would make them with cobblesome shoes and with pride would sell their shoes. Nowadays, they all sell, they'll just stick the tack in as it goes by. You can't see. No pride in it. The honest simple truth is that's one of the things wrong with our nation is the fact we have lost our purpose in what we're doing. Have lost it. And then I want to say this very quickly. No, I don't. I want to say it. And that is this. Our Lord came to elevate the plan of salvation. You know why he became a carpenter? You know why our Lord became a common laborer? Anyway, because there are more of us than anybody else. He wanted to identify himself with the common man. You know, that's why I preach like I do. Did you know that I could, there comes a great time for you, did you know I do know homiletics? Did you know that I taught homiletics in a Christian college for several years? You didn't know that, did you? Yes, sir. It really is. I taught him. Did you know that I've got some theological studies that I could give you, but you'd choke to death on them? You know why I talk about the wringing the chicken's neck? Because you can understand that. Our Lord wanted to be understood. The God of heaven becoming flesh, working in a carpenter's shop. Is not this the carpenter? Here's what I mean. A lady came to me in Tallahassee, Florida. She said, would you pray for my unsaved husband? She said, Pastor, I was there preaching. She's Brother Hiles. She said, my husband, nobody can reach him. Pastor's been by. Every evangelist that's ever been here has been by our house. Nobody can reach my husband. Would you pray he'll be saved? About Thursday at noon, the pastor said, we're going to eat with the family today. I said, who is it? He said, it's that lady whose husband is unsaved. Well, we drove out in the country. Husband came in, had an overall. I sat down at the table, and we had a prayer. First one that had in that house, I imagine, since the last time preachers were there, because the fellow was just old, lost in it. He got his knife, and he got his fork in his hand, knife in this, anyhow. No, after a while, he got his thumb. And he just fork and he pushed it on like that. And he got his mouth way down here, just right at the plate. And he just like that. And so the pastor there, he was so embarrassed. He just goes, Dr. Ryan, I'm sorry. He thought that offended me. And I could tell he was so embarrassed. And the pastor was, God bless him, he was sitting there with his hand under the table. Now, when I go certain places where I have to put my hand on the table, I do it, but I think it's stupid. Now, to me, chasing peas across a plate, and especially the last two or three. There's nothing quite as, is it? I'm ruining the school. I know I am. But, now I'm for it. And I do it. Boy, I just chase those peas all over the plate. I do it. The pastor's over there had his hand under the table. And he was quite proper, you know. And so I got my knife and fork, put my sleeves up like that. And I got it like this. And that old man looked at me. He was as countryside as they come. He said, man, you ought to get with it, don't you? And I said, yeah, I said, I came from Texas. He says, you big eater. I said, thank you. You know, he fell in love with, no joke, he literally fell for me. Before we left that house, that man was saved. Nobody could reach him. Theology couldn't do what the fella did like that. I'm not so sure, but what we don't miss a lot of chances because we don't reach the people. That's what the Apostle Paul meant when he said, I become all things to all men. He didn't mean he drank with drunkards. He meant he shoveled black-eyed peas with southerners. He meant he came where they were. And our Lord wanted to come, not in the bank, because there are not many bankers. Not in the city council chambers, because there are not many city councils. Our Lord wanted to come in the carpenter's shop, so he could bedeck labor's crown with jewels of perspiration, so he could give honor to sweat, so he could magnify the common man, so that in 1970, the last Sunday of June, on a Sunday night, somebody sitting in the service who's a hard-working steel mill worker, who's not saved, but said, you mean Jesus? Ready to. Yeah. You mean he worked with his hands? Yeah. He was no effeminate sissy like these effeminate artists painting. He was all man. 18 years as a carpenter. 18 years as a carpenter. Why? He wanted to elevate his preparation, to elevate labor, to elevate life's purpose, and to picture the plan of salvation. For in his becoming a carpenter, he was telling us that he who was sinless had become sin. He had taken upon himself our own infirmities and weaknesses, that he might offer to those of us who have in faith trust him a covering of perfection. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy.